We're beginning our class in Tomer Devora, the famous work by the famous Mekubal Rav Moshe Cordoviro. And for lack of time, we should really begin. So we'll quickly read or translate the letter of approbation that the Holy Shlo wrote for the book, the Tomer Dvora. That's on page Gimel, the very beginning. Being that this honorable work is all about the awe of heaven and the acceptance of the kingship of the Blessed Be One, of the Blessed One, and about going in the footsteps of the traits of the Blessed One, undoubtedly he who will accustom himself to learning this honorable work and fulfill it will have his presence among the angels and will merit this world and the world to come, a world that's all good. And look at the great person who compiled this work, the man of God, the Holy One who enlightened the whole world with his wisdom and piety, Rav Moshe Cordoviro. This is what the Shlo writes about him. And therefore I say it is fitting to print this beautiful book to give merit to the people of Israel. Learning this book will bring a person to performing the mitzvos, having awe of heaven and being a pious person, etc. And he concludes and says, whoever learns this book weekly or monthly is promised that he will have a portion in the world to come. Praised be he. It's good for him, a person who gets accustomed to reading this book. And it is a mitzvah for every person to purchase this book. Okay, so this is the famous book of Tomer Dvora. And let's begin. Okay. Chapter 1. I think we'll read the Hebrew and translate, yes? Ha'adam, the homo sapien, the human being. Ra'ui shi'idame lekono, it is fitting that he make himself similar to his creator. Ve'az yiyeh besod ha'tzura elyona. And then he will be within the secret of the heavenly form, tzelem udmut, the different types of forms, the different types of descriptions of God's form. In other words, the way God reveals himself to us in the manner of his behavior, that's what we call Hashem's midot, Hashem's traits. It's a borrowed term. So a person has to aspire to be like his creator in that realm. Because we say, this is the first Kabbalistic concept, that the Torah uses physical terms to describe God. The Torah discusses, this is the finger of God in Egypt. The Egyptian sorcerer said, Etzba Elokim hi, it's a finger of God. Does God have a finger? It says, God took us out with an outstretched arm. Does God have an arm? We have many terms in the Torah. You don't even have to go to the prophets that seem physical. So we say that man was formed after God, right? The Torah says, "Bitzelem Elokim asat Adam." So one understanding of that is that on a spiritual level, we were formed after God. We were given the capacity to think, to create. So we were given that spiritual capacity, which is being described when it's said that we're like God. But there's a Kabbalistic concept that the physical body, the human body, is what's called an olam katan, like a miniature of the greater world. And the the descriptions, the terminology of describing one's head, one's arm, one's feet, etc., are really, on a Kabbalistic level, there are correspondences. And when we look at the body, for example, we say, if you're going to wash your hands, so lift the vessel to wash your hands with your right hand, pass it to your left hand, pour it on your right hand. So the right hand lifts the vessel and the right hand gets washed first. Why? So on some Kabbalistic level, we say that our hands correspond to the greater world, where right and left represent different forces that affect the world. In heaven, we say there's no such concept as right and left, right? God is omnipresent. So how could you be to the right of God? How could you be to the left of God? God is everywhere, right? So how could you say that? Yes? And nonetheless, we have those terms. So we're accustomed to those terms being right and left, when in fact, the word yamin and small mean strong and weak. Yes? Yamin means strong. What was Benjamin? Ben Yemini, the son of my strength. And the word small comes from the word weak in Arabic. Now, in ancient times, all maps were facing east. The top of the map was always to the east, not to the north. That's the way all ancient maps worked. That's the way the Tanakh works as well. The Tanakh calls the east Kedma, like Kadima, forward. Yes? You're always facing east. So if east is the front, then what's to my left?
South.
Weak.
North, right?
North, weak one.
I'm facing east, so to my left is the north, right?
Yeah.
Okay? To my left is the north. And the north, in Tanakh terminology and in Kabbalistic terminology, is also, what is the word north in Hebrew? Tzafon. Tzafon means hidden, right? So Tzafon is like Tzafon. We say the north represents, what does the Navi say? The prophet says, Mitzafon tipatachara. From the north is where evil comes in. So again, north can be on a compass, can be on a map, but north can also be a concept, Tzafon, like Tzafon. Okay, there's much more to be discussed, but we have to be agile in our thinking to realize that there are multiple levels. When we speak about things, there are multiple levels. So there's the simplistic level, I know left and right. Then there's the deeper meaning, which is also halachic, the meaning that yamin means strong and small means weak. We know that from our tefillin, right? You put tefillin on your left hand. No, you don't. You put tefillin on your small hand. But small doesn't necessarily mean left. Small means weak, right? That's where we put our tefillin. Yes? Okay, so we say that there is a correspondence. There's a correspondence between the human body and spiritual concepts. And that's what he's saying over here, that it is fitting that a person makes himself similar to the one above in his form, so that he will not only be similar in body. What does that mean? We're not similar to God in our body. So that's this concept that we say there is a similarity. There is a spiritualistic similarity in the physical body. God isn't simply described as having a hand. There is a spiritual concept in the way the hand is set up. So you don't want a situation where your body was given this fantastic shape because the body represents spiritual concepts. Yet the actions of the body, they don't reflect heaven. So our book is going to be about getting our actions to reflect heaven. The body, so that we said, is spiritual concepts, the idea that the body can reflect heavenly concepts. But the actions, okay, that's something we can understand. And if a person only has this unique body, but his actions aren't reflective of heaven, then he is a disappointment to the form he was given. So people will say, what a nice form he was given, what potential, yet the actions are disgusting. No, that's not the way it should be. When we look up above, what's the main thing we know about heaven? The actions of heaven. Form is something we don't even understand, how that can be used to describe heaven. How can we describe God as having a form? That doesn't make sense to us. So it's some kind of Kabbalistic concept. What we do understand is that God's actions reflect mercy. When we say God is merciful.
It's a borrowed term. It means his actions reflect mercy. When we see his actions, we can understand that. And we'll pick up here, Bezat Shem, next week.